Wednesday, May 22nd, a tasty trade offer has been made to Al Melchior in our podcast league by me. What do you think, Al?
Well, actually, I'm just loading my messages right now.
I'm giving you...
So here it is. Here it is. Okay.
All right.
Well, okay, may take a second to load. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm giving you Giancarlo Stanton and Adrian Gonzalez. I'm asking for Matt Kemp and Alan Craig. What do you think?
I'm thinking I'm probably going to take it. I want to do a little bit more research on the Stanton return date because that's the clincher.
Yeah, I heard last night on the Marlins broadcast that, well, it was weird. It was they were asking, they were doing like a tweet, one of the fan tweets, and the tweet was, do you think we're going to see an outfield of Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna, and Giancarlo Stanton at some point this year? And Tommy Hutton, the analyst, the color analyst for the Marlins, said, yes, I do. And then Rich Waltz came in and he's like, said June 15th, which is right around the corner, which is big news for Stanton, but also for Yelich. Not to say that it's definitely going to happen, but...
He was just making an off-the-wall prediction.
It almost seemed like he had a lot of conviction about it.
They were saying, what was that report the other day with Stanton? They hope he's back before the All-Star break kind of thing?
Yeah. And then the Miami Herald said they were expecting some time in June. Or hoping for some time in June. So there have been a lot of different dates regarding Giancarlo Stanton.
So, and he is doing the cool thing. If you watch the broadcast, I didn't see that particular part of it, but later on they showed him doing they showed one of the broadcasters doing what Stanton's doing with the anti-gravity treadmill thing. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hello, everyone.
He's playing on the moon.
Welcome to the show, Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It's a buy or sell day. Mike Trout hit for the cycle. Do you realize that Mike Trout is now the number 2 hitter in fantasy?
Didn't know it. Not surprised.
Number 2 in points, number 5 in roto. He is the number one outfielder in points, number 2 in roto behind Carlos Gonzalez. So he's back. We've got to talk about Dan Straley, a great start for him. Matt Garza was very good. A lot of injuries to talk about. But let's lead it off with Kevin. Did I say it's buy or sell day, by the way?
I don't think you did.
All right, it's buy or sell day. Let's lead it off with Kevin Gausman. Getting called up, Orioles prospect, former number 4 pick in the draft, and he is going to start Thursday as Jair Jurgens comes down. We got an email from Greg who says, do you guys add Gausman, 12-team head-to-head points league, and where do you rank his value?
I don't see how you don't add Gausman. He's the highest profile pitching prospect to get called up this season, and looking at the Orioles rotation, there's a good chance he could stick all season. And in fact, if they didn't think he could stick all season, I'm not sure they would have called him up. They got Freddy Garcia holding a rotation spot right now, and that's even after who is it Jurgens. On the DL for them?
Oh,
Chen.
Sorry.
Yeah, even after Wei and Chen comes back, there'll still be room for Gausman.
Okay. So he's basically a must-add in all formats right now?
Yeah, I would think so.
I would say so, yeah. The only thing that's puzzling about it is just the timing of it, because it seems like it was roughly a week ago when they said they were not going to be hasty in promoting him, so I'm not sure what caused the change of heart.
I think he had his best start last time out, 6 innings, 10 Ks, and that's what he'll get Ks. He won't walk guys. I think he was averaging 1/9 in 8 minor league starts this season.
Would you be more excited about owning him or Profar right now?
I'd say probably Gausman or Gausman.
You know what? I heard it as Gausman or Gausman earlier this year, but I got to wait to see how...
By any name, by any pronunciation, I'd rather have him because I do think...
A prospect by any name.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much shelf life Profar is going to have this year.
All right, Rafael Betancourt left with groin tightness yesterday. For all of you... We call them prospect hounds for prospects. Can we call them closer hounds for those that are just desperate for saves?
Picturing a bunch of like basset hounds sniffing around for closers.
For Rex Brothers, etc. Who's the guy to pick up in the Colorado bullpen just in case Betancourt needs a DL stint?
I want it to be Rex Brothers.
Yes, I do too. I think we're going to say the same thing.
He's the only short reliever lefty in their bullpen, so... I'm not sure they'll end up going that route, particularly since this probably would just be a short stint on the DL for Betancourt.
If he needs it. All speculation.
Yeah. If I needed saves by any way I could get them, and I had to add the guy, I would probably add Brothers just because I, between Wilton Lopez and gosh, I'm not remembering names very well.
Belial, or
yeah, Matt Belial. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a clear standout there.
Well, I imagine we'll know more about it later today, so I invite you all to check the website, fantasynews.cbssports.com. We'll have the updates for you, and Fantasy Baseball Today at noon Eastern, we might know more by then, although I'd be surprised, but maybe. And if we do, we'll, of course, update you. That's live on the website at noon Eastern, and if you miss the live show, you can watch it on demand. Chris Sale won't start tonight. He has mild tendonitis in his left shoulder. Hector Santiago is going to start in his place, and Sale is expected to make his next start. Now, the Twins will start Samuel Deduno Friday against Detroit. He's replacing Pedro Hernandez, so it's not Kyle Gibson. Deduno was awesome in the World Baseball Classic. What do you think?
Nah, not too interested. I mean, really has a history of extreme wildness. A lot of K potential there if he can put it together the way that Scott Kazmir did for two starts and hopefully will do again. Then okay. We have something with Deduno.
And Chase Utley missed yesterday's game with a rib injury, and I just kind of read that and was like, oh boy, here we go again. Let's hope it doesn't spiral into something worse. Do we know who's replacing Ryan Vogelsong at this point?
Not for sure. Chad Godin, who's been in long relief, is an option. And that's my turn to struggle with remembering names.
I don't know that I can help you.
I had it written down and then I erased it. But
I got your back.
Kick him.
Yes.
Is the other.
I remember laughing to myself about his last name.
Yeah, because him to the curb.
Yeah. Right. I think those are your two biggest. Shane Liu, veteran guy, is in the mix.
So nobody fantasy exciting?
Not fantasy exciting, no.
Jared Weaver could be activated after today's extended spring training appearance. That would be cool. Jerickson Profar, he batted ninth again. He went 1-for-3 with a single. He was caught stealing. And Zach Wheeler is going to start today. And Mets GM Sandy Alderson said he hopes Wheeler is going to be promoted after 2 or 3 starts. And he also said he's sticking with Ike Davis for now. But if Davis gets demoted, just reading in the Post, they said Murphy could move to first base and Valdespin could play second base and get in the lineup more regularly. So let's talk about what stood out in Tuesday's games. I'll open the floor to my friends here, Scott and Al. What stood out?
Well, one thing that stood out to me was a nice start from Mike Leake. And I think I mentioned sort of offhandedly on yesterday's show that I had taken a look at Mike Leake's game log and had noticed two things. One, that he hadn't really given up that many home runs, which was a pattern for him in the past. And secondly, that maybe the matchups had something to do with that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this was another good matchup.
So exactly. So I'm not sure it proves anything, but it is another nice start for him. But yeah, maybe it just kind of adds evidence to the existing trail here that his road starts, Leake's road starts at the Mets, at the Marlins, at the Cubs, at the Nationals, who have been struggling offensively, and at the Pirates. So not really a bunch of offensive juggernauts on the road.
Well, he's got Cleveland at home and at Pittsburgh next week, Al, owning 33% of leagues.
Okay. And, he's only had actually 3 home starts so far.
So we're talking about 2 road starts next week?
No, 1 home. Cleveland at home and then at Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that Cleveland one be an interesting test.
All right, well, we'll talk about all the fringy guys, the fringy starters like we always do, and compare them. How about you, Scott? Anything in particular?
The thing that stood out most for me was the Dan Straley start, which was finally a good one.
Hell yeah.
Not just a good one, but a great one against the Rangers of Texas.
And he's got 2 starts next week, San Francisco and Chicago at home, the White Sox.
And with this injury for Brett Anderson sidelining him for a couple months, probably, Dan Straley, he has a pretty long leash, I think, and this could be the start of the turnaround. In fact, all the quotes from his teammates and managers basically said, oh, this is where he takes off now, probably.
He's owning 28% of leagues.
Yeah, I think you need to pick him up.
Get him.
Particularly with the 2-start week.
Straley or Gossman?
I'd actually go Straley, I think.
I think I'll go Gossman just because it was a fantastic start, but he was so dismal beforehand. At least like to see at least
I don't
one
really
more.
Understand why he was dismal, though, because
he was all over the place. It was the complete opposite of what he did.
Well, the walks, he wasn't walking a ton of guys. The hits per nine and walks per nine for Straley this year are actually down from what they were last year when he got called up. Not that he was dominant when he got called up last year, but he was pretty good.
And I was surprised when I saw that checking out his game logs recently. Yeah, and I'll take a look because, the walks weren't as bad as I thought, but the command just clearly has not been there for Straley up until this last start.
I'm picking them both up, though, Adam.
All right.
To be perfectly honest, I'm dropping Phil Hughes for them. I'm dropping Jonathan Neese for them.
It's funny you say this. Because really, you're dropping Neese?
Yeah, I'm dropping Neese.
Okay. I just sent out a tweet. I said, who are you considering dropping for Gausman? I will read names on the podcast. So I'd like to know what our fantasy owners are faced with. So hopefully we'll get some responses if I'm as popular on Twitter as I think I am. anything else that stood out to you guys? I wanted to talk about Kelly Johnson and Nate McClouth and whether or not they have staying power, whether or not you're just riding the hot hand or you can think you can probably have them in your lineup for the rest of the year. What do you guys think?
I don't know that you can have either of them in your lineup for the rest of the year. I think Kelly Johnson... And this is a reversal from past weeks. I think Kelly Johnson is the more trustworthy of the two because he just a couple years ago, he was a must-start second baseman, and he plays the weaker position. He's kept the hot streak going longer than McClouth was earlier this season. McClouth, even now, he isn't really the hot hand. He happened to homer for yesterday, but he was batting 180 in the 14 game or 13 games leading up to it. So he's still sitting against lefties. I think you really got to be careful about the matchups with McClouth. When Johnson, he's going to cool off eventually, but until it happens, you can trust him.
How about that start for Matt Garza, Al?
Yeah, it was about what I expected. Only five innings, so you figure he's going to be ratcheting that pitch count up. But and five strikeouts in the five innings.
Throwing 93, 94, and Dale Swaim was like schoolgirl giddy over Matt Garza.
Yeah, you couldn't really, you could have expected more, but probably not realistically. I was glad to see the results.
He's owned in 84% of leagues. Does that need to be higher?
A little bit higher.
Okay. All right, guys. Email of the day comes from Drew. This is actually kind of cool. Did you see the answer to this by any chance? It was in your inbox.
No, I didn't.
I did not.
All right, he's got a player A, player B comparison. Player A is owned in 98% of CBS leagues. He has two home runs, six RBIs, one steal, and a 579 OPS. Player B is owned in 87% of leagues. He has one home run, so one fewer, three RBIs, three fewer, same amount of steals at one, and a 774 OPS, much better than player A.
Okay.
I don't expect you guys to get this.
Yeah.
But the fact that player B only has one home run, three RBIs, and a 774 OPS should be a hint about playing time. Hitting time.
Hitting time?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pitcher?
Yeah.
Giovanni Gallardo?
All right, player A is Jason Hayward, and player B is Travis Wood.
Oh, I never would have guessed that.
No, it was just funny that Travis Wood has an OPS so much higher than Jason Hayward.
It is
so
funny.
Bad.
Yeah.
So too bad Wood's not outfield eligible.
I feel like Hayward's been pretty good since he came off the DL. I know he had two hits and a double yesterday. And the encouraging thing to see, even before he went on the DL, is he's walking at a nice rate this year, kind of like he did as a rookie when everybody thought he was a first rounder waiting to happen.
All right, here come the tweets. Would you drop these guys for Kevin Gausman? Marco Estrada, 12-team head-to-head category league.
I would not.
I would. On most teams, he probably wouldn't be my first choice, but I would if I had to.
Odorizzi,
12. Yes. Absolutely.
Jonathan Neese, 12-team roto.
Yes.
Kind of the same answer as Estrada.
Yeah. All right, injuries, news, and notes. Ryan Howard returned to the Phillies lineup with a sore left knee. He had three hits and three RBIs. Nick Swisher on the paternity list after the birth of his first child. He will miss 1 to 3 days. John Danks set to return Friday, according to John Heyman. Anybody excited about John Danks?
Not excited, but back on the radar. Bumped him up in the rankings yesterday. Potentially relevant in 12-team mixed leagues.
Bad news for Corey Hart owners. MLB.com says Corey Hart won't be ready to start a rehab assignment until the first or second week of June. So he may not be back until mid to late June. I wish there were more Corey Hart songs that I knew.
I know. And really, right? You've got one of two, and the only one that even remotely applies here is just, you know, Corey, keep the up the rehab, never surrender.
Yeah.
You know, I can't work in sunglasses at night with this one.
No. I mean, if by some chance he wore sunglasses at night one day, I think everybody would love it. So I'm just asking you, Corey Hart, to make that happen.
There must be some Corey Hart song we're overlooking here. Maybe
I know two, well, now, and I'm looking
had
at
to
you.
Be more. I mean,
you're the only one in this room that would know more Corey Hart songs. All right, so make it happen. Zach Cozart returned to the lineup after missing two games with an illness. Shin-Soo Chu was given a day off. Nate Eovaldi, Marlins starting pitcher, scheduled to throw a bullpen session today, recovering from a shoulder injury. Is there any chance Jose Fernandez could lose his spot in the rotation?
I think there is about zero chance of that happening.
Okay,
They yanked him after five innings yesterday. They seemed really worried about his innings.
That was the second thing that stood out to me from yesterday after we got all excited about him throwing, I think it was 99 pitches in his last start.
Yeah.
79, even though he was rocking and rolling yesterday.
Well, and that was partly the situation, too, that the Marlins had a runner in scoring position and... So they brought in the fearsome Jordan Brown to...
What's the point?
Situational.
He didn't get a hit, did he?
He did drive him in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh.
It just seems like all the comments you read about Fernandez, even in relation to them with his pitch counts and everything, makes it sound like they're trying to preserve him to get him through this season. So it doesn't sound like to me they're having any thoughts about putting him back in the minors.
Well, I picked him up,
actually. Tom Kohler, I mean, clearly he's not a roadblock, so sure. I don't think Kohler would be the first to go.
Fernandez, I picked him up in a 12-team league. He's got two starts next week at Tampa Bay and home against the Mets. So I figure if I can get like 11, 12 good innings, anywhere from 10 to 12 good innings against Tampa Bay and the Mets.
Don't expect any wins.
No. But, you know, and it's funny you say that because in a categories league instead of a points league, I don't care as much because even though wins is a category, losses isn't. So, whereas I might lose the 5 points in a points league if he gets a loss. Like, he got a loss yesterday, I'm assuming, right? Or was it 1-1 when he left?
It was 1-1.
All right, but he's still susceptible to losing.
I'd say Fernandez is more valuable in categories than head-to-head. Also, the innings themselves, the lack of them brings down his value in head-to-head.
Anthony Gost did not play yesterday for Toronto. Jed Lowrie fouled the ball off his right foot, and he left the game. What is it, the LIR?
Yeah, LIA. LIA. Lowry Injury Adjustment.
Shane Victorino was out of the lineup. Evan Gattis hit his second pinch hit home run in 4 days. He just doesn't start anymore.
And they were both...
Apparently doesn't need to.
They were both go-ahead home runs in the, this case, ninth inning. Last time, eighth inning. So...
Well, okay.
He's going to get some starts. If Freddy Gonzalez said it, and I think the better he performs in this pinch hit role, the more he justifies it.
Carlos Quentin was out with a left knee injury. David Freese missed another game after needing stitches in his finger. Eric Ibar cannot stay healthy. Left yesterday's game with soreness in his knee. Hopefully he's okay. Salvador Perez hoping to be back today. And Trevor Plouffe took a knee to the head, was removed from yesterday's game. And Chris Dickerson homered twice for Baltimore. Does anyone care?
Nope.
All right. Buy or sell part one. From Mike Regan. Buy or sell Adam Eaton as a top 40 outfielder for the rest of the year.
I'm selling it.
Yeah. I don't think I have him ranked that high. I think it's a possibility. But.
You know what I'm a little worried about with Adam Eaton? And I haven't heard anything to suggest he's not coming back soon. But it was a strained UCL, a partially torn UCL, which is obviously the ligament. It requires Tommy John surgery when it tears. More than just partially.
Yeah.
And if you've looked at Adam Eaton's numbers on his rehab assignment, and I know he's just gearing up after not having any kind of being off since pretty much all year. So you can expect a slow start. I get that. But he's not hitting between the California and the PC California League and the Pacific Coast League, he's not hitting anything. And this is a guy who was like a 400 hitter throughout his minor league career. And just looking at some hitters in the past, like Mike Aviles and Kelly Johnson, Kyle Blanks, guys who ended up needing Tommy John surgery, eventually hitters. Mm-hmm. They were like that right before they got shut down and needed Tommy John surgery. So I'm a little concerned that this elbow situation isn't completely behind Eaton. And a couple weeks from now, we'll just randomly hear, okay, we're shutting him down for the season because he needs surgery.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe a bit of overreaction just to a few minor league numbers, but it's something. If I'm stashing Eaton, I'm still stashing him. I'm not 100% counting on him, though.
All right, moving on. Tony Ivey. Buy or sell Anthony Rizzo finishes as a higher-ranked first baseman than Adrian Gonzalez in Roto.
I'm going to sell that one. Yeah, I think Gonzalez is doing enough things right. I know he's not hitting for any power yet, but I think he'll eventually hit for enough that he'll finish ahead of Rizzo.
I sell also.
This is why I'm trying to give you Adrian Gonzalez, Al. You know why? Because earlier in the year, before the season started, I said I was trying to avoid him this year. And then I took him in the podcast league and people called me out for it. And they're like, oh, how could you do that? And I felt a little dirty about it. So now I'm trying to get him off my team.
If I reject the offer, it's only because I might want to revisit the whole rookie weeks thing.
Well, let's talk about this trade a little more.
Right. I give up Stanton and Adrian Gonzalez. Al gives up Craig and Matt Kemp, theoretically. And Scott, if you convince Al not to do it, I'm going to say, let's not talk about this right now.
Well, okay, I'm in no position to tell Al what to do with this fantasy team, obviously. But just looking at the circumstances of this trade, you're 1-6 in the podcast league, right, Al?
That is unfortunately correct.
And the biggest piece you'd be getting in this deal, a big key to this deal is Stanton. You're giving up Kemp and Craig, two must-start players in their own right, and you're getting just one must-start for at least about a month in Adrian Gonzalez in return. How are you going to pull yourself out of at 1-6? You pretty much need to be trying to win every game from now on.
And that,
if you're trading away an extra must-start guy for somebody you're not even going to have,
I should have turned his mic off. I knew this wasn't going well.
All right. Well, there's two factors in play. One, there's an earlier iteration of this that involved Ricky Weeks, and my real need is everywhere. But, but I need, I have a lot of underachievers. Kemp is one. So if I have any concern about Kemp, and I have just a little, then maybe it's worthwhile waiting for Stanton. What's enticing to me is that I get the upgrade at first base. Now, it's not going to solve all my problems.
It's not a huge upgrade, though, is it, Craig to Gonzalez?
I think it could be.
And he's got Colorado next week, Adrian Gonzalez. So,
well, I'm not just playing for next
keep
week.
That in mind.
I think every win counts.
As somebody who I know, you're all about buying low on Kemp too. And in this case, you'd be selling him. But I know you've talked about buying low on him and how you'd be among that group. It seems like an extremely downer approach to take with Kemp. If you're saying, well, I'd rather have Stanton, who I know is going to give me nothing for the next month, than Kemp, who could possibly be my best player for the next month.
Well, yeah, given my situation, I totally understand what you're saying. It's just the first base upgrade, maybe one piece of being able to jump back into it longer term. But yeah, I may not be able to afford to have a stud outfielder sit on the bench when Kemp could turn it around next week and maybe help me to a couple of extra wins. We'll see. I think we'll be talking.
Okay. Ricky Weeks might make his way back into the deal at some point, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here. O&T, buy or sell. Trevor Bauer and Danny Holton both get called up by June 15th and stick with the big club with ERAs less than 4 and strikeouts per 9 of greater than 8. That's quite specific. Bauer and Holton.
Yeah, that is very... okay.
Oh, you know what? Let's simplify it. Bauer and Holton both get called up by June 15th and stick with the club.
I'm going to say that is... I'm selling that.
I want to buy it. I actually would buy it for Holton. I'm still not sure about Bauer, so yeah, I'll sell it too.
The Fantasy Wonka wants to know, sell high on Patrick Corbin?
Based on some of the trade offers I was seeing in the chat yesterday, a guy was asking me if he should trade Cespedes for him. I heard you guys talking on the show, Matt Kemp for him. If those are the kind of offers you're talking about, then yes, sell high on Corbin. I think Corbin's a good pitcher. I have him up 43rd in my pitcher rankings, but people are valuing on him on this top 15 level right now, right. It seems like. So potentially sell him, but make sure it's selling high.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan Lambert, buy or sell Starling Marte as a top 30 outfielder at season's end?
I buy it.
And no, I?
Wait, I'm sorry. I read Andrew McCutchen. I sell it, actually, not by much.
I'm selling it by a good margin.
Okay, buy or sell from Jake Hall. Buy or sell. The correct way to pronounce GIF is with a soft G, as in gin. I'd go GIF.
Yeah, I do too, so I'm selling.
Yeah, is that really called a soft G?
Yeah. GIF would be a
gin, GIF, yeah.
But G sounds so much lighter than J.
No,
that's the soft G.
I'm selling the hell out of that.
It's like Jiffy peanut butter.
Oh, G.
DJ Obi, buy or sell BJ Upton doing anything the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
He's not this bad.
No. He slumps all the time. This is a long one, but he'll come around.
And Skinny Cheeks, buy or sell Mujica as a top 10 closer rest of season.
Sell it, but wouldn't rule it out.
All right.
Scott, I agree.
Later today on Fantasy Baseball Today, we are going to talk about trades. You know, we talked about Patrick Corbin just now, but we're going to help you assess trade values of some of the most traded players like Matt Kemp, Josh Hamilton, and also down on the farm talking prospects when they're going to get called up. It's always one of our most popular segments. So Fantasy Baseball Today, live noon Eastern, down on the farm, trades, and some of the other highlights. Okay, more Gausman tweets coming in here. I knew I should have sold us getting to the entire show. I knew that wasn't going to happen. Ryan Roof wants to know, how about Estrada, Brett Anderson, and Phil Hughes? How many of them would you drop for Gausman?
Hughes. I already said Estrada, no. Hughes, yes. Who's the middle?
Anderson.
If you can't stash him in a DL spot, then I probably would do it. You're talking about a really lengthy absence for a guy who's not guaranteed high in numbers even when he returns.
You know what? I just have enough doubt about how much Gausman might pitch. Kind of, that's a tough one. But, yeah, I would keep Anderson, so I'd have to say no to that one. Really tough one, though.
Real quick, guys. Scott Kazmir.
I would drop Kazmir, yeah.
No. I'm going to be stubborn.
Quintana.
Yes.
Yes.
Alan Webster.
Yes.
Trevor Bauer. This is an AL only league, by the way. Trevor Bauer.
Yes.
Bauer or Gausman?
I would. We've already seen that Bauer isn't going to take to the majors right away. Is it Gausman or Gausman?
I'm going Gausman.
Gausman. I'm going with you, the pronunciation king.
We'll find out for sure on Thursday.
And saying, I would do that without much hesitation, Bauer for Gausman.
I would too. And that I just changed my mind right here.
Jared Parker, Julio Teheran, Jeremy Guthrie.
Parker, yes. Teheran, yes. Guthrie, yes. Yes, yes.
Agreed.
Okay, let's move on. Fringy starting pitchers, part one. These guys are owned in more than 50% of leagues. Wandy Rodriguez and Jose Fernandez are owned in over 84% of leagues. So Wandy was good against Chicago, not great. Jose Fernandez, again, good, not great. No strikeouts. Two strikeouts. That was weird against Philadelphia. Jonathan Neese, no earned runs, but three runs in six innings with seven strikeouts, three walks against Cincinnati.
It was his first time, the seven strikeouts. I think that was the first time he had more than three in, like, all season, pretty much.
And Phil Hughes, six innings, two runs, both solo homers. Wandy, Fernandez, Neese, Hughes. Rank them.
Fernandez.
Neese.
Yeah, the next three are really.
We're doing like combined rankings here. All right, my four: Fernandez, Neese, Hughes, and Wandy. All of them are ownable. Wandy's last because I feel like you said he was good, not great. I feel like that's exactly who he is, and I usually gamble on the higher upside guys.
Yeah, I'll go Fernandez, Neese, and this is now a reminder to me I need to bump Neese back up a little bit in my rankings. And then Hughes, then Wandy.
That was the same, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
All right, cool. Fringy starting pitchers, part two. Maybe these guys are a little more interesting. Jose Quintana took a no-hitter into the seventh, ended up throwing 6 1/3 scoreless.
Yeah. Did you find that interesting how that went down?
Why?
No-hit them through six innings and then gives up three hits.
Yeah.
in the seventh.
And then
last time he pitched, we talked about how we looked at his ERA by inning and how he always seems to fall apart.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that second, third time through the order.
His bullpen totally bailed him out, too. That's a good point. Forgot about that. Felix DuBrant, decent start at Chicago. Yolish Chacin, 3-3, 4.10 ERA, hardly any strikeouts. Jerome Williams, 8 scoreless innings against Seattle, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He's got a 3.24 ERA in 4 starts. Mike Leake was mentioned already. Dan Straley was mentioned already. Wade Davis stunk at Houston. And Bud Norris has had 2 horrible starts, but been mostly good this year, except he's not striking guys out like he usually does. So we got Quintana, DuBrant, Chacin, Jerome Williams, Mike Leake, Dan Straley, Wade Davis, Bud Norris. Top 3 on that list.
Straley's by far number 1. And then it gets a little dicey.
Now, and we're talking rest of season?
Yeah.
Or right now? Because that makes a big difference for me.
Let's go right now.
Because if it's right now, I'm putting Jerome Williams in my top 3.
Wow.
But I just don't think that he's going to be long for the rotation. But
this is interesting. Williams.
Is he even going to make another start? I mean, maybe one more, but then if Weaver comes back.
Coming back, yeah.
I mean, they could get Blanton the heck out of there, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
If Williams is pitching next week, or if I'm in a daily league, at least very short term, he's in my top 3. Got Straley, got Williams, and then it comes down to Quintana and Leake, and I think I'm going to go Quintana there.
I'll go Straley, Quintana, Leake, then Williams. Yeah, well,
I just went the extra mile.
Yeah, I went to 4 there. Now, are you buying what Williams is doing then?
I mean, not the start in particular. He's not going to shut teams out every start, but in a way it is typical because he went deep into the game, didn't walk a lot of guys. That's what you can get from Jerome Williams. It's not always going to be pretty in terms of ERA, but more often than not, you can count on him to give you
a
quality start.
I was all ready to knock Williams because of the way he started off great last season and just completely fell apart. But I noticed he's averaging a mile per hour more on his fastball than last year, really throwing the hardest he has in his entire career. And even last year was an upgrade by like 3 miles per hour. So I don't know what's going on with him, but it might be true he's just a better pitcher.
All right, how many of those guys would you rather have over Phil Hughes or Wandy Rodriguez?
Straley, that's it.
Yes, I'll agree, Straley.
All right, I like it. Next category is called Angels in the Trout Field.
Oh, that's nice.
Angels beat the Mariners 12-0 yesterday. We talked about Mike Trout. And Josh Hamilton homered and tripled. Howie Kendrick hit his 7th home run. Albert Pujols singled twice and drove in 2 runs. Anything stand out?
I'd say the Hamilton homer and triple.
Yeah, so I agree.
Get it going.
4 home runs in his last 13 games now. So that's, and he's hitting like 270 during that stretch. So it's not like he's back, but it's we're getting there.
In the bullpen, Fernando Rodney got a save after Joel Peralta struggled. Rodney gave up a run in an inning and 2/3, 1 hit, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Glenn Perkins blew his first save. Rafael Soriano blew his second straight save, 3rd of the season. Bryce Harper took the blame for letting Gregor Blanco's fly ball get over his head. That tied the game. And Harper said he was thinking about last week's play when he collided with the outfield wall. Anyway, we got Rodney getting the save, Perkins blowing it, and Rafael Soriano doing the same. Anything there?
Just Rodney. Just clearly not the same guy that he was last year. Have no idea what that was about, but I'm not quite back to thinking that he's not viable as a closer, but I'm also done with thinking of him as an elite guy.
And he was the guy who got the save yesterday.
Yeah,
he's the one we don't like.
2 up, 4 down rotation. 2 up, number 1. I wish Nando were here. It's Jed Jerko, who over the last 21 days is the number 8 second baseman in points, number 7 in roto. Only owned in 75% of leagues. 3-for-4 yesterday with a double and a run.
Jed Jerko. 30 home runs.
Love Jerko.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, he has 12 doubles. Not a lot of home runs. He has 4 this year. But anyway, what are your thoughts on him? Is this legit?
Last 96 at-bats, because I think you put his May numbers in. 96 at-bats, .323, four home runs, and a .923 OPS.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty long period of time. And obviously, he's not going to sustain that rest of season, but I think the people who, like me, started to believe that he just wasn't ready for the major leagues after the kind of start he got off to are wrong. I see him being about a .260 hitter with 20 home runs, maybe a little less than that as a rookie, which is good enough to start at second base, particularly when he's hot, but not like carry your team good.
Should he be owned in more than 75% of leagues?
I think maybe even slightly less, because I agree with Scott completely on the numbers, and I think there are, you know, there are more guys that can do, or there are guys who could do better than that, that you could be using to bring that.
That said,
down.
In the one,
if he were available in our 21-man roster, 12-team mixed league, where you're starting Dustin Ackley, you'd be all over that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. But he's not.
No, he
but
isn't.
He could be. Because yeah. he's not in my top 12 second baseman, I don't think. No, he's not. I got like Rutledge around there. I'd still take Rutledge over him.
Well, we can look at the roster grid and see who's taking up the spots, but the waiver options are bleak.
Yeah.
That's why Ackley's still in there for me.
You both have him 18th in points.
And I'll probably move him. Who do I have right ahead of him? Probably like Espinoza.
Yep.
And I'd move him ahead of Espinoza now.
Ugla?
That's a close one.
Okay.
I think I'd leave Ugla ahead of him, but under certain circumstances, I could see preferring to own Jerko.
Would you trade Ricky Weeks straight up for Jed Jerko?
To get Jerko?
Yeah.
No way.
Me neither.
All right, two up number two is Alex Rios. He's on a 16-game hitting streak, four home runs, 12 RBIs, seven doubles in those 16 games.
Yay, Alex Rios.
That's why he's owned and started in all leagues.
Hey, look, two good years in a row. Yeah. Who knew?
Four down, D. Gordon. You know, part of the reason I traded Jay Bruce, I traded, among other people, Michael Bourne for Jay Bruce in our Roto League tonight with Nando. I kind of felt like I was going to get steals all year from D. Gordon.
Mm.
I know if he plays, he's going to steal bases, but
yes.
I'm just worried that he's going to stop playing because he's batting 167 right now. He's owning 34% of leagues.
Yeah. And I heard you mention on Fantasy Baseball Today, yesterday. I always have to put that little pause in there.
Yeah, the video show.
Yeah. That D. Gordon had bad matchups last week. I had him as an approach with caution in the hit parade. His matchups this week aren't so good either. I don't know if the Dodgers will look at that when they assess him, but I'm not.
Well, we read Scott Wade's hit parade. Yeah, no,
I'm not necessarily expecting him to
turn
it around. And he may run out of time, like you're saying. In Roto Leagues, you're still holding on to him because steel stud potentially, but head to head leagues, I could let him go.
Yeah.
Would you drop him for Didi Gregorius, Al?
No, I wouldn't.
Steven Drew.
Yes.
You love your Steven Drew.
Not as much as Nando, though. And I know we're going off of the position and off the notes, so we're going to have to sell the getting through the notes even more now.
Yeah, I think so.
But a guy I wanted to bring up earlier that I didn't, Ben Revere, who had another big night last night against the Marlins, three hits. He is now hitting .406 over his last 12 games, 32 at-bats.
Yeah, so, he just wasn't starting, but now I think probably three in a row. Three starts in a row?
Yeah.
Yep.
It seems like they worked with him on a swing some because they wanted him to start hitting it in the gaps instead of being so slappy.
Slappy.
Not like it's worked so far.
Not like our little ventriloquist dummy. There we go, dummy. Yeah.
Slappy. Yes.
But and I just thought with Gordon, because I think Gordon, you know, given a longer trial, could also be a guy who not only continues to give you steals, but could give you batting average, but Revere... obviously a different position, is doing that right now.
All right, the next three and four down are Justin Upton, Victor Martinez, and Lance Berkman. Justin Upton's having a pretty bad May, and he is number 37 outfielder in points in the last 21 days, number 63 in Roto. But Victor Martinez, 76% owned, he's just been horrible. And Lance Berkman, the number 16 first baseman in fantasy in points, number 24 in Roto. I don't know.
I think the Upton thing, 21 days you're talking about, he's not a top, a number three. He's outside of the top 35 outfielders.
Yeah. Not a big deal to you?
It's not a big deal. I think it just goes to show, like, the difference between the very beginning of the season when a player does this, and right now, I don't think any Justin Upton owner on earth is worried about him or considering sitting him. When if he started the season on the stretch he's on now, they'd be like, oh, should I trade him? Should I drop him? Yeah. What should I do?
You're 100% right. And V-Mart and Berkman, are they over-owned at 76 and 79%?
I think Berkman just a little bit. V-Mart, I think we talked about on the show yesterday, nothing happening there. So you could make the argument based on what he's done that he's way that Martinez is way over-owned. But I still think, and Nando made the point that given the long layoff and the circumstances, got to give Martinez just a little bit more time.
Rotation. Max Scherzer was awesome. Steven Strasburg was awesome. Matt Cain, pretty darn good. Zach Greinke, no good. Ian Kennedy, decent. Did you know that Ian Kennedy entered last night's game with the second best ERA at Coors Field among active pitchers, 30 innings minimum?
I did not know that.
And 6 innings, 4 runs, 3 of them earned.
Maybe he should always pitch at Coors Field.
I don't know about that. Scherzer, Kane, Strasburg, Greinke, Kennedy.
I think Greinke will be fine. Slightly alarming, but first start off the DL. You can't get to... Or, I'm sorry, second. You're right.
First start was good.
Yeah, first start was good. You're right. But still, you know, I'm not too worried at this point.
I wanted to comment on Kane.
Yeah.
Because he got rocked at Coors Field last time and has had some problems with home runs. But looking at his last 4 starts now, 3 of them have been Kane, exactly what you expect from him, and only 1 home run given up between those 3 starts. It's just I think the Coors Field start might kind of overshadow what he's done there when it's kind of unfair since it's Coors Field. I think Matt Cain's more or less back.
Would you drop Ian Kennedy for Kevin Gausman or Dan Straley?
No.
Not for Straley. I would for Gausman. I'm really, really
dropping
worried.
Dropping Kennedy.
Really worried about Kennedy.
You're his biggest fan, Al. What happened?
Not anymore.
Oh. Deep leagues.
Too much inconsistency.
Miguel Gonzalez, 17% owned, was very good against the Yankees. Corey Kluber was decent against Detroit. And Tyler Cloyd is 1-0 with a 2.70 ERA in 2 starts.
And he is going to stick around, right?
Well, I would think so.
Yeah. I think he deserves... I would at least have him up with Miguel Gonzalez in terms of priority. So he deserves to be owned in more than 7% of leagues.
Well, if you're thinking about who to pick up, Gonzalez is a 1-start guy next week, and Cloyd at Boston home against Milwaukee is a 2-start guy.
Could stand to have better matchups, but
yeah.
In an NL-only league, I would probably go with him, sure.
Yeah, no, Cloyd needs to be universally owned in NL-only, and the question is just how deep of a mixed league do you roster him in? I could see the upside being 15-team.
All right, buy or sell part 2. Then we'll try to get through some emails. Ryan Schaefer, buy or sell Hiroki Kuroda keeps his ERA under 2.65 by the end of the year.
I'll sell it, but maybe not by much.
I sell it also.
Mike Zucconi, buy or sell Ernesto Friere keeping the closer gig when Ryan Madsen returns?
I sell that completely.
If Scott Miller and Scott White say that that's not going to happen, that's good enough for me. So,
Ross Coe, buy or sell dropping Rodney to add Bailey?
Oh, yeah, I would do that.
It would be a departure from my rankings. I don't think so. I think I'd stick with Rodney because I think if nothing else, he has job security.
Dewey Singleton, buy or sell Gene Segura is a sell high.
If it's really a sell high, I've got him in a few leagues. Haven't been shopping him around. Actually, thinking about it, though, in a league where I've got Hanley coming back, if I can sell Segura very high.
You know, I tried to do that to you with Zobrist yesterday in the same league where you're trying to get Ricky Weeks.
Yeah.
Because I have Hanley coming back, and that, where am I going to play him?
That didn't work, yeah.
But he's going to get hurt again, probably, so maybe I'm better off keeping Zobrist. I actually have Segura up to 4th at shortstop, so it would have to be higher than I think is reasonable for me to sell him.
Jeremy Werner, buy or sell Matt Kemp is a top 20 overall mainstay for the next few seasons.
I'll buy that.
I buy it also.
Kayla Van Horn, buy or sell Shelby Miller wins NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Got to buy it at this point.
And PVL, oh, his Twitter handle is P to the VL, says, Carlton, Bo, and Yogi, who are you selling in the Yankees outfield? It's going to change every day. Yesterday was Ichiro who sat.
Oh, he fit like a three-man intro in there. I was trying to figure out, are those nicknames for their current outfielders?
No, nicknames for us.
Okay. I am selling Ichiro, it seems like. He's the one who sat the most
so far.
Now we're talking selling in fantasy, though, because I don't have any faith that I'm going to get any sort of value for Ichiro. But if you're talking about...
I think like selling for playing time.
For playing time? I know it's going to sound like a cop-out, but I'm going to say none because I just think they're going to rotate them equally.
Yeah. Kind of feeling the same way. Except I think Gardner... Well, Granderson's probably not going to sit that much. But Gardner, I think they love him in center field.
If there is one, will mostly be between Ichiro, Wells, and Hafner.
Yeah.
I think Ichiro, it's looking like he might get the fewest of them, at least while everyone's healthy.
All right, let's read a few emails here. We got about 3 minutes. Patrick in New York City. Oh, this isn't an email. This is a buy or sell, but it was via email. Buy or sell Ricky Weeks bouncing back and putting up similar second half numbers to last season.
I'm buying it. Maybe from you, Adam.
And would you drop Weeks for Kelly Johnson, Omar Infante, or Marco Scudero?
No, no, and no.
No, I'm not quite as enthusiastic as Al because maybe I'm falling into the trap here of overvaluing these early season numbers. But I feel like Ricky Weeks' slow start, last year you could blame it on the ankle injury, which was so bad the previous year. It kept him out months. And then eventually he got over it. It's probably just a slow start, and I'm not dropping him for those guys, but I'm not 100% confident in a bounce back either.
All righty. Moving on to, I don't know how to pronounce this, Musco Time in South Detroit. Hey, Batista.
You just blew right past the South Detroit, discussed as non-existent, at least in the United States.
That's right. Hey, Batista, Masuka, and Dokes. That would be Dexter, ladies and gentlemen. I hear you guys talk about formats you like and dislike. I've always played in leagues that have limits, max games played at all positions for the season. How do you guys feel about limits? I feel pitching as many guys as possible just isn't really fair or even a fair reflection of your team. P.S. I've been getting less love from Al on Twitter.
I'm not sure what that means. Might just mean I'm not replying to as many tweets, but
I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't like
it. Especially to this guy who's making a South Detroit reference.
Yeah.
What do you think about limits for playing time?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it's usually necessary. I think there's enough other rules built in that abuse of starting pitchers or hitters on their off days in daily leagues kind of polices itself.
Yeah, and I don't know, just to me it feels like over legislation. I mean, sometimes I'm in leagues that have really complex rules, and sometimes it's hard to stay on top of all of them. So, I think the simpler you can keep it, the better.
Okay, here's John the Accountant who says, Dear Tina, Gene, and Luis. And that would be my Bob's Burger impression. I'm in a 12-team mixed roto league. Would you drop Irvin Santana, Ian Kennedy, or Derek Holland for Matt Garza?
Santana, yes. Kennedy, yes. Holland, yes. All three.
You watch Bob's Burgers?
Yeah.
Is there anything between you and Nando? I think everything is covered.
I used to watch Bob's Burgers. I don't really watch it anymore. I watch no TV shows, Scott. I watch 1600 Penn. It's my buddy,
which is gone now,
not for long,
yeah.
Right?
That's gone. I watch Dexter and Homeland, but they're not even on right now.
So why'd you stop watching Bob's Burgers?
Because I don't have time to watch it anymore, unfortunately. I love Bob's Burgers. It's so funny. I will get the DVDs at some point.
I caught an episode this past fall, and I was pleasantly surprised.
It's very funny.
It didn't look like it'd be good.
It just
kind of left the TV on after a football game or something.
Very subtle humor in that show. Very subtle, but very good.
It's kind of King of the Hill is kind of the same.
Yeah, good comparison. All right, so you drop all three, Irvin Santana, Ian Kennedy, and Derek Holland. How about you, Scott? This is it for today.
I know, got us off track there.
That's all right.
I would drop, I don't know that I'd drop Derek Holland probably for Garza, but I want to be excited about it. I think all four of those guys should be close to universally owned.
I think you should read Dewey's. It's short.
Oh, Dewey's just said.
Now you're pulling a non-devil.
Dear pink shirt, red shirt, and waffle shirt, would you sell high on Segura? I think we just answered that, so we
pink shirt, red shirt, waffle shirt.
Well, you have the pink shirt. I don't know who has
Nando wore a pink shirt the other day, and we talked about it on the podcast, right?
Oh, maybe.
So who's red shirt?
You have a red shirt. I have a red shirt.
I have a red shirt, too.
Al has a red shirt.
Which I intentionally did not wear today because it's a Scott day, and
red
I
shirt.
Want chances both wearing it.
Must be a, like, is it like a Star Trek reference? I don't care about that third guy, whoever it is.
Oh,
I take offense to that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That one flew right over my head if it was, in fact, Star Trek. Star Trek, not Wars, right?
Star Trek,
Star
yeah.
Trek. Well, tune into the show later today to see what shirts we're wearing. We'll talk to you tomorrow with some Grade the Trade.